Ah, the grease monkey. What is it, Chunky? I'm a busy man.
Oh, I think you'll want to make time for this, Tyler.
Spit it out, then. And it's Mr. Montague to you.
Well, Mr. Montague, it's about Tamsin Leaftrot.
Gordon's daughter?
That's right. Gordon's pregnant daughter.
What about her?
Oh, I think you know full well, Mr. Montague. She's pregnant with your kid.
Callum, please don't make me watch anymore.
But it's the fruit of your filthy labour. Put it back on.
Does a fast food chef have to eat his own burgers?
Not a bad idea.
Don't!
That's where you're wrong, Mr. Montague. Proof is exactly what I do have. And it's red and frilly.
What are you talking about?
When I fixed the fan belt on your Jag, I found these in the glove box.
Knickers.
Tamsin's knickers.
How'd you know?
A name's on the label. And your name is going to be Dirt.
Oi!
No more.
It's just getting good.
It's never getting good.
And it's nearly over.
But I know what really happened to Alderman Garrity and the $3,000 you owed him in blackjack debts.
It's never over.
That brake cable didn't cut itself.
You'll never prove nought. But these get me 20% to betting shop or Naomi finds out who the father of young Tamsin's bairn really is.
Swap a fifth of Montague turf for a pair of lass's pants? You can whistle for it, Chunky. And you can wear them knickers on horseback down Granger Street for all I care. I'll deny everything. Naomi will never know that kid's mine.
Too late, Tyler. She already does.
Naomi?
I'll take them, cheers. And then I'll take the keys for the betting shop. And then I'll take the house. You're finished, Tyler Montague.
No! She knows. Naomi knows about Tamsin's baby. She's going to take Tyler for everything he's got. You're about to punch me in the face.
You're so upper middle class.
Cafetiere calling the kettle black.
I mean the way that you embrace the lowbrow, getting excited about soaps in that knowing way. It's so bourgeois.
Not all soaps. Just Jasmine Road. And I don't get excited about it because I'm upper middle class. I get excited about it because it winds you right up.
You're right.
What?
I am about to punch you in the face.
Sir Jasper bribes the Cartwright brothers to award him the building contract, not knowing that Kenny
Cartwright's already done a deal with Donna after she got lesbian couple?
Sandra. After she got Sandra to lose the evidence before the assault trial.
No, don't think so, Nick. It's just a rehash of when Gordon bribed the health inspector over the listeria outbreak.
Totally different.
Not knowing that Jack had faked illness to avoid the trip to the Shetlands.
Oh, yeah, that is
quite similar.
Stuff the Cartwrights. Look at getting Jasper to confront Donna directly and have him do it at the tanning salon. We need to hit Donna's bikini quota.
Will do.
Great.
Jenny, have you had any thoughts about Seamus's return from the dead?
You mean apart from it being a ludicrous short-termist attempt to salvage ratings at the expense of narrative consistency?
Yeah.
He could come back as his own clone?
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, well done, Phil.
Brilliant.
Drink?
No, thanks, Dr. Berenger.
You wouldn't mind if I do. And please, Jennifer, call me Frank.
And deny myself the comforting formality of the tutor-student relationship.
A relationship 5 years ceased.
Nevertheless, Dr. Berenger, you shall always remain.
Well then, Miss Green, what news from the gaping Stygian maw of mass entertainment?
It still requires incessant feeding.
Excellent. How long left on your writing contract?
8 months. I've been denied parole.
Oh, don't play it down, Jennifer. You're a writer on Jesmond Road, a top-rating soap. You should be proud.
Not so top-rating. Viewing figures are flirting with an all-time low. They're trying everything. Celebrity cameos, a minimum of 2 marriages and 4 explosions a week. They're even doing a live episode tonight to try and scrape up a morsel of publicity.
Many writers would kill to have your job.
Give me their names, I'll take them a gun.
Is it really so insufferable?
It's insubstantial trash, with lamentable characterisation, retarded dialogue, and as much insight into the human condition as a dead crab in a sock.
And the negatives?
It's corroding my soul.
Do you remember Cornelius Capps?
Of course, he was amazing. I remember that essay he wrote in the second year about Spencer's allegorical satire. Are you in touch with him?
He spent the last 18 months working in a bookshop trying to get his biography of Thomas Kidd published.
Oh, brilliant.
No, rubbish. He did the MA. And for what? to stack Terry Pratchett's. Every year I wave another crop of graduates off to an uncertain fate. Some become hacks, a few try and teach. You write.
I write. Pointless, vacuous...
You write. You're a success.
It doesn't feel that way.
So what would you rather be writing?
Well, there's a play.
Oh, yes.
It imagines a meeting between Schopenhauer and Dostoevsky in Heidelberg in 1848.
The March Revolution as backdrop.
Exactly.
And why is Dostoevsky in Heidelberg?
He's visiting an uncle who emigrated there, trying to learn the truth about his father's death.
Right, right. One other question.
What?
When Naomi confronts Tamsin Leaftrot about the baby, is Tamsin going to reveal she knows about the deeds of the hotel being transferred into Veronica's name?
I'll see you soon, Dr. Beringer.
Oh. Must you go so soon? I wanted to get the gossip on Mrs. Wilson's secret blood transfusion.
I'm not writing those episodes.
Well, give me a ring. Next time we'll have lunch.
I will. Hello?
Oh, Jenny, hi. It's Mike Barnett at Jasmine Road.
Hi, Mike.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got a bit of a situation here. Basically, Harry Corcoran, who plays Gordon Leaftrot, yeah?
Yeah, I know who he is.
He's been taken ill. Can you hear me?
Yeah. When you say taken ill, do you mean found drunk in a bush?
Sorry? Oh, no. Yes, well, not a bush. Anyway, he's meant to be in the live app tonight, but he can't be. So we're going to have to write Gordon Leaftrot out of those four scenes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
We're right up against it. So, can you come in and do us the rewrites? We'll send a car.
Why can't Angela do it? She is head writer. You know, with great power comes great responsibility.
She's having Botox.
What about Nick and Sam? No, oh, no, don't answer that.
Really, we do need to get the rewrite and go straight into studio. When can we pick you up?
I'll be home in 15 minutes.
Great, much appreciated. Can you hear me?
Bye, Mike.
Oh, hi, Jenny. We're just coming up to the bakery scene.
How's it going so far?
It's all right, I think. Sally accidentally called Bill by his real name. Donna missed out about six lines. And when Chunky was meant to plant the tape recorder in Tyler's office, the door handle fell off.
Apart from that?
Like clockwork.
And my rewrites?
Oh, we're just coming to them now.
Did the director have any notes?
Oh, he hasn't had time to read them. They went straight to the actors as soon as you'd finished writing.
Really?
Okay, ladies and gents, scene 14. Ready in 5, 4, 3, 2.
You cannot go in there, Naomi.
It's a bakery, Chunky. Anyone can go in there.
But what are you going to do?
I'm going to talk to Gordon, and I'm going to let him know the truth about his daughter. Out of my way.
You mustn't. You'll open a veritable Pandora's box.
Well, quite Chunky. But if you recall the myth, after evil was released from the box, hope followed.
Hope?
Hope so remained within. Nor took her flight beneath the vessel's verge, concealed from light.
Aye, Hesiod's Theogony. Is that Banks's translation?
Nah, C.A. Elton's.
Ah, of course. Nevertheless, I fail to appreciate the analogy.
What the hell is this?
Magic of live television?
But permit me to elucidate. The hope is that when Gordon discovers the truth about his daughter's clandestine relationship with my duplicitous oaf of a husband, he'll withdraw his funding for the floating casino and thus, far from attaining the crease and wealth that he craves, Tyler Montague, I'll be faced with penury.
That's typical of you, Naomi.
What do you mean?
Subscribing to some naive, reductive Weltanschauung of the cathartic power of truth. Been at a Spinoza again.
There is nothing so strong or safe in an emergency of life as the simple truth. Dickens.
The pure and simple truth is rarely pure and never simple. Oscar Wilde.
Truth is truth to the end of reckoning. Shakespeare.
Then an end to the dissembling. You don't tell Gordon about Tyler being the father of Tamsin's baby, and I'll make it worth your while.
Oh, this better be good, Chunky. This better be very good.
And we're out. Thanks, everyone.
Well, they learned the lines.
What in the name of all that's holy was that?
That was a rewrite.
And what? You did that for all four scenes?
Yep. Oh, you should have seen the bit with Sean and Indrani at the petrol station discussing Descartes' ontological proof of the existence of God.
Sounds great.
What do you think?
I think there are easier ways to hand in your resignation.
God, just being able to write that stuff, it was liberating, like running naked through a storm or...
Shouting Spinnaker at the moon?
Not so much that, no.
Right. So you don't think there'll be any consequences?
No. Well, maybe an enforced lobotomy to keep me on the viewer's wavelength.
I haven't seen you so chipper in ages.
I know. Work's been getting me down. Look, sorry if I've been a complete pain in the backside recently.
It's all right.
You're supposed to say, of course you haven't.
Right.
I don't take it for granted, you know, Callum. You putting up with me. I really do appreciate you.
Appreciate? All right, Elizabeth Barrett Browning, don't go overboard on the schmaltz.
Why Spinnaker?
Hmm? Oh, I don't know. It's a good word. Hey, you should try and sneak it into a script. You know, as a token of your appreciation.
One at a time. Angela, you look fabulous. Sam's right, 10 years younger.
Stow it. And you, lady, have got some explaining to do.
You don't think you might have overdone it on the Botox, do you?
Last night's episode. What the hell was all that highbrow tush about?
I was simply using Naomi's outrage to explore questions of contemporary ethics and morality.
Or simply use my boot to explore your arse in a minute, lady. You knew there was no time to rewrite the rewrites. You deliberately sabotaged the episode. It was unwatchable.
Come on, what about all that stuff at the hospital? When Mrs. Wilson and the ward sister discussed pagan symbolism in Blake's engravings, that was quite funny.
Do I look like I'm laughing?
I can't tell.
You know the score, Jenny. We paint in primary colours. The dialogue is plot-driven. One syllable, verbal, fast food. That's what the viewing cattle demand.
I just thought they might appreciate something a bit more challenging.
Believe me, they're challenged enough. Have you seen Jesmond Rhodes' demographic? I reckon our viewing figures are going down the carsy because every day one of our viewers burns his telly as a witch.
They need to develop an interest in the esoteric.
They need to develop opposable thumbs. But shoving bloody Kierkegaard down their throats ain't gonna make it happen. How many times have I told...
Just to let you... Sorry, I'm interrupting.
What is it, Mark?
We had the comments from last night's duty log. You know, that's where the viewers call in with their comments on the...
Oh, I know what a duty log is, Mark!
Right, of course. Normally, there are about 20 or 30 calls on the log. But last night, there were... 277.
What did I tell you?
Don't know, we couldn't really...
Make it out.
No, they're all really positive.
Positive?
Yeah, Mrs. Williams from Buxton said, I enjoyed the robust philosophical debate on tonight's Jesmond Road. S from London said, more Kantian ethics, please. Letitia from Wigan said, normally stuff you have to think about is mad boring. That's like she's put U, like the letter U, and two is the number. But the show tonight, it's like tonight with the number two and then N-I-T-E, was wicked. Big up the stuff about that objective reality in it. Namey rules. Ian from Stoneleigh said, brilliant, I'm going to be...
All right, points of view, we get the idea.
What was that about primary colours?
Well, only nutters ring up the duty log. Everyone knows that.
Well, the word from the suits is, they want more of the same, please. Angela, are you all right?
I think she's trying to frown.
Question 4. Who was runner-up in this year's Big Brother?
Any idea? Sorry, stupid question.
Put Pope Pius IX.
I think he was third. So is Angela still giving you a hard time?
No, she's loving the fact that I've been asked to rewrite a month's worth of her scripts and make them more intellectual.
Wait till she finds out about your profile thing in the Telegraph.
Well, apparently, I'm the poster girl for the new Intelligencer. No, really. The sport wants me to pose in knickers and a mortarboard.
Question 5. What is the capital of Portugal?
You're kidding.
I know, some of these are unbelievably easy.
I meant about the sport.
Look, in the 3 weeks since the live episode went out, the ratings have gone up. So the media makes some kind of facile cultural movement out of it, and I do a couple of interviews and become dinner party chat fodder. But soon they'll all get bored and the idiotic status quo will be re-established. So just let me enjoy it while I can.
So were you joking about the sport or not?
Yes, Callum, I was. Why? Are you feeling insecure?
No.
All this? It won't last.
It's the cultural movement that shows no signs of abating. It all started 6 months ago when ailing TV soap Jesmond Road gambled on highbrow storylines and heavyweight intellectual dialogue and saw viewing figures soar. It seemed to signal the end of dumbing down. Sure enough, 6 months on, the pop culture revolution that's been labelled smarting up is still going strong.
A few months ago, builder Carl Burns was happy to spend his night in front of the telly or propping up the bard down at the Prince of Wales. Not anymore. The smarting up bug has bitten hard. And now for Carl and his friends Craig, Stephen and Mark, Tuesday night is book club night.
Yeah, well, following on from Craig's point, you know, to conclude that Camus actually endorses the abnegation of moral responsibility, I just think that's quite a disingenuous extrapolation from what's essentially, you know, it's just an exercise in benign absurdism, really. Anyone fancy a brew?
All right, well, if you can leave your details on my home phone, we can fix an interview up for next week. Monday, I might have some time yet. Well, could do, yeah, but it might be more straightforward to use one of the existing publicity shots, yeah. Yeah, just call the production office and they'll sort you out. Okay, all right.
Well, well, Jenny Green, media machine.
Angela, never seen you do your gin shopping in here before.
Yeah, well, no longer on an head writer's wage. Got to slum it with the oi polloi.
How are you?
Oh, dandy.
You working?
Oh, yeah. Don't worry about me. Freelancing in the glamorous world of executive international travel.
That sounds exciting.
I'm writing the in-flight safety video for Air Turkmenistan.
Excuse me, do you know where the fish counter is?
I think it's at the back, near the organic stuff.
Oh, the trouble I've had getting hold of a bit of halibut. Hamilton's are fresh out, so I've caught the bus to Noble and Woods, but they're closed for refurbish. So, I've had to walk all the way back up the hill to get a couple of fillets here. Oh, it's just my luck, they'll have nothing in here either.
They're usually quite good.
Oh, I tell you, it's like some kind of glib parody of Ahab's Pursuit of the Whale. Melville would be turning in his grave.
Right.
Mind, soon as I get home, my husband will be neither and I've not picked him up a chop instead. Oh, how did the bard put it? Mad in pursuit and in possession so, eh? Eh? Dead right. Thanks now.
I hope you're pleased with yourself.
Maybe we could have a weekend away. There's an advert here for Sylvia Plath mini breaks.
I'm up to my neck in work.
You get a 2-hour multimedia lecture on the bell jar and a voucher for a gas service.
Great.
I never seem to see you these days.
Don't lay it all on me. You seem to come home later every night.
Everything's changing.
Question 3. In the Eumenides by Aeschylus, by whose statue do the Furies encounter Orestes?
Everything's changing.
So, we're thinking, Tyler leaves the art group in this terrible huff after Donna dismisses situationism as nothing but a watered-down betrayal of the original tenets of letterism. You see, he goes
all
to...
All right, write it up. Taxi!
You like it?
I'm not convinced. Come on. But it might give us a way into that storyline about Chunky's cousin selling a fake volume of Max Ernst lithographs at auction as a meta-referential Dada's prank.
Wow, thanks, Jenny. When Angela was head writer,
she never gave us a chance.
Where to, love?
The Grove TV studios, please.
Did I hear you mention Max Ernst, love?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you see that opus critique of his post-war work in a mirror the other day?
No.
Oh, yeah, it questioned his primacy over Duchamp and Chagall in terms of influence on the American abstract expressionist movement. Do you want me to go to Church Street or via the Ring Road?
Well, I should have expected the Cartwright brothers to attempt something as crass as sabotage, but for you to be involved, Donna, how much do they offer you?
You do me a disservice, Tyler. Subtle he needs must be who could seduce angels.
Milton?
Paradise Lost, Book 9.
You're no angel, Donna.
We saw that you on Late Review.
But my state of divine or otherwise is of little...
Who'd have thought Jodie Marsh would have such impassioned views on a modern like dress production of Tannhäuser?
You crave remains just out
what's
of
happening
reach.
With the Schopenhauer play?
You see, inheritance or
BBC no, Two.
Now that Jack's ended his affair month. With Councillor Wilson, you'll never get planning permission for that floating casino.
We're ahead of you, Donna. It's not a floating casino anymore.
Then what is it?
It's the Spinnaker Floating Art Space. a cellular creative complex which references the utilitarian urbanism of Le Corbusier while embracing an organic, environmentally sympathetic aesthetic. The planning permission is in the bag.
You bastard!
Well, I'm honoured.
Sorry?
That in the midst of the media maelstrom, you still find time to visit your poor old tutor.
Well, without whom?
Ooh, credit for your success. How exciting. Will I get to go to the BAFTAs?
It's extraordinary, Dr. B. There are people in greasy spoons discussing Candera. Kids' comics with free quantum mechanics sticker sets. There's a reality show about 9 academics sharing a flat.
Prof Idol. Yes. I like the Irish one.
Last week, I asked the bin men why they hadn't taken the rubbish away, and they said they'd embrace logical positivism and thus couldn't be certain the rubbish existed. Everyone's bought into something I just did in a fit of pique.
You've started a cultural revolution, Miss Green.
Everything's changing.
Not everything.
What do you mean?
You still look thoroughly unhappy.
Me? No, I couldn't have imagined anything more amazing. They want to try and develop this plot idea about Sean leaving his job at the bar to become head of a neo-Marxist think tank.
Right.
They're giving it to the new writer. He's just graduated from Cambridge with a first in international history and politics.
Wow.
And to think, once upon a time, all you needed on your CV for a writing gig on our show was a couple of episodes of Doctors. Are you all right?
I need to talk to you.
What about?
Well, you know things haven't been... Well, it's been a bit distant between us lately.
I know, I'm sorry. But the whole smarting up thing, I've just been tied up with stuff and...
No, it's fine. You've got your work, but it's kind of made me reevaluate things.
Go on.
And it's not really working out anymore, is it?
I'm sure things will be back to normal soon.
Well, also, I've met someone else.
Oh.
So...
Who is it?
It doesn't matter. It's...
Someone I know?
It's Adele. From the cafe.
Her? The girl who works in the greasy spoon? She's a moron!
No, she's been doing a course.
Oh, who hasn't?
20th century experimental drama. We started chatting about Pirandello and I saw her in a whole new light. She knows Pinter's betrayal backwards. So...
What have I done?
Nothing, honestly, it's
no,
not you...
No, I mean, what have I done?
I'm glad you asked me that, Councillor. They'll be over here. 6 self-contained studio spaces with unhindered views over the sea, allowing the artist to absorb the unconscious rhythms inculcated within the primal cycle of tidal shifts. I've already had interest from a performance poet who's keen to explore the idea of semi-improvised interpretations of Norse seafaring legend as familial allegory.
Ah, and I've had... Mr. Montague, sorry to interrupt your meeting,
Chunky. Near me? What do you want here?
Your petty obfuscation won't cut it this time, Tyler. We know the truth.
The truth? What do you know about the truth? You're a Kantian relativist.
We know that Donna's father didn't retire from the elite word puzzle team because of the palindrome fiasco.
What are you dragging that up for? It was years ago.
He resigned about 2 months after your mother joined.
It wasn't just crosswords going on in that club. It all came to a head at the Whitley Bay Acronym Marathon. Or Wabam.
Don't even bother. Think you've dug some dirt? Think you can waltz out here and retrospectively construct some spurious, subjective, pseudo-eatable narrative? Pause it again. Now, if you'll excuse me, I've got business to attend to with a councillor here.
Cut! Thank you, very nice.
Jenny?
Yes?
I'm not being funny or nothing, but I just wasn't sure about a couple of Chunky's lines here.
Oh, yes?
Well, his attitude just seems slightly at odds with the post-Jungian mindset we saw him adopt at the fishmongers like.
Right.
You all right?
I think a seagull just crapped on my bag.
Of course, it's a pleasure to see you, Jenny. Sit down. And twice in 3 days. I'm spoilt. But I'm not sure the psychoanalyst mantle sits so comfortably upon my shoulders.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dr. Berenger. I shouldn't burden you. Anyway, it feels more like confession than psychotherapy.
Even worse.
How so?
I have to listen to the same whinging, but there's no time limit and I can't charge for it.
I'll go.
Oh, sit down, sit down. So, what is it? Pride has cost you all you held dear, and now you lie blinded and helpless, a quivering shadow on the heath.
I don't remember Lear being the highest paid writer in the history of TV soap.
It's only in the second folio edition. What is it, then?
Nothing.
Nothing? Nothing will come of nothing.
All right. I suppose all that time when things were how they used to be, the show was rubbish and TV was rubbish and people were idiots. Everything was reduced and simplified. Moronic, you know. And I railed against it. It infuriated me. But...
deep down, you liked it that way.
I'm not special anymore, Dr. B. Does that sound awfully self-obsessed?
Pretty much. I told you about Cornelius Capps.
Yeah, trying to get someone to look at his biography of Thomas Kidd.
They're looking now. A six-figure bidding war, apparently.
Good for him.
Good for you. That's all down to you.
You know the Schopenhauer play?
Yes.
They've pulled it. Indefinitely suspended from the schedules.
Why?
They thought it was a bit... lowbrow. You know, I've had an offer... and I actually think I might accept it.
You're pretty neat, Todd, but you gotta think about how Edie's gonna fit into that storyline when she comes back from Mexico, yeah? Okay, let me introduce a new face to you guys. She's highly thought of back in jolly old England. We're very excited to have her on the writing team. She's gonna bring some of that great Brit style and class to Windmills of Time. It's Jenny Green, everyone.
All right, hi, Jenny.
Hi.
So we asked Jenny to think a little about how to resolve Fontella and Jody's blackmail storyline. Jenny, what do you have?
Well, I thought that when Fontella crashes the Humvee, she could lose her memory. So she doesn't realise that Shirelle was only posing as Jody's sister until Anushka's triplets were born. And even though we don't find this out till Patrice is cured of the tropical disease and can speak again, her brother is actually not Norton's gay lover, like Dr. Camarera's thought when he saw the encrypted computer file... but the ghost of his father.
Man, this chick is good. Jenny Green, welcome aboard.
Thanks. You've all made me feel very special.
Smarting Up by Daniel Meyer and Mark Meyer starred Daniel Meyer, Jim Barkley, Angela Lonsdale, Alice Lowe, Matthew Horn, Jenny Eclair, Mark Meyer and Steve First. The producer was Claire Bartlett and the executive producer was Alex Walsh-Taylor.